My dear friends in Christ, have you ever in your life been surprised in the store? Let me set the scenario. It's early in the morning. You have a son or daughter who plays on an athletic team. Their car doesn't start. They come in inside and said, "Mom, Dad, I need a ride to practice." And without thinking, with sweatpants on and no makeup, haven't even brushed your teeth, the hair is unkempt, you get in the car and take him to practice. But on the way home, you decide you better stop off and grab an extra gallon of milk. And so you go into the store without even thinking about it. And then it happens. Someone calls your name. Ordinarily, you would like to stop up and say hi and strike up a conversation. But at this particular moment in time, you would rather run and hide. Why? Because you begin to think to yourself, did I really come out in public looking like this? That's what I describe as a moment of self-revelation. The text I read just a few moments ago about Peter in the courtyard, for him was a moment of self-revelation. The courtyard is where Peter would deny Christ three times. But you see, by God's grace, Jesus Christ also holds out another picture of Peter. A picture of Jesus, his Savior. Tonight, there's really two ways to look at it. Peter's denial or Peter's Savior. It's my prayer as we look into the courtyard that we will definitely see Christ and what he has done for us. As we listen to the conversation that takes place within the courtyard, we see more and more of Peter's life literally being stripped away. It's kind of like standing in a basement and you watch the cracks in your foundation continue to creep along the wall, knowing the further they go, the less stable it is, and over time that small crack will be so big that it won't even hold up the house anymore. For Peter, the crack started when one girl came up and said, "This man also was with him." Oh, and Peter could have said, "Yes, I was with Jesus, I'm one of the 12. But he says, "I don't know him." The crack appears in the foundation of Peter's life. His relationship with Jesus is broken, and it doesn't take long for the whole thing to come falling down. From there, we move Peter's relationship with Jesus and his disciples, because the next servant girl says to him, "You also are one of them." Then another one says, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he too is a Galilean." And Peter says, "No." When your relationship with Jesus Christ is broken, when the cracks begin to form, it doesn't take very long for everything to give way. At that moment, Peter had that moment of self-revelation. See, he hears the sound, he sees the face, and he remembers the words. For Luke writes, "Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord." It's kind of like having your name called out in the grocery store in the wee hours of the morning when you're not really fit to be seen. Peter at this point remembers what Jesus had said. You see, Jesus knew Peter far better than he even knew himself. For Peter had promised, "Lord, I will go to prison. I will suffer death rather than to fall away. Even if all these others abandon you, I will not." Well, now push comes to shove, and he must put his confession where his mouth was. And he denies ever knowing Jesus. A moment of self-revelation, to be sure. But what about you and me? Can we, by our own might, follow our Lord? or are we unable? Does your salvation depend upon your works and your ways, or does it depend upon Christ and what He has done for you? Dear friends, your salvation is always dependent upon Christ. Always has been, and always will be. And if you and I ever rely upon our own strength rather than Jesus, we'll enter into a place of denial. But where are these places of denial in our lives? In our daily lives, where do we see it? It's not always in the drama of having other people question us about our faith in Christ and have to make that bold confession in front of everyone else. It's not always there. Think about places of denial in your life. It may not be quite as dramatic as Peter. It could be a place of honor, like the church. You know, Pastor, my family's charter members here. I've been going here since 1952. This is my church. Or it could be in great leadership. It could be the frequency and the fervor of our devotional life. And we begin to look at these places of years of membership or leadership or attendance in the congregation or our time spent in Bible study or prayer, and we slowly begin to think we are strong enough in faith because of our own doing. We become a bit bolder in our witness. At work, we begin to stand up and cry out against the sinful lifestyle of the world around us. We speak up at church meetings. After all, I've been here long enough. They ought to listen to me. And as we think we're growing stronger and stronger in the faith, we actually are neglecting the cracks that have already begun to form in the foundation. There are so many ways of living in denial. It could be the denial, I don't know the man, emphatically and boldly in the middle of the courtyard. I don't know him. Or it could be the flip side, that adamant, that vocal, I know the man in the middle of the courtyard, so everyone else will know. But all the while forgetting His work in our lives. We look like Christians. We act like Christians. We even do things that Christians do. But all the while, cracks in our foundation begin to form. We discover that we're relying upon the power of our own achievements, our own accomplishments, the things that I do, the things that I control. And soon, my relationship with Christ is in a shambles. And the whole thing comes crashing down. There will come a time when we are not been able to do what we'd hoped to do. Let me give you an example. Have you ever told your kids, Christians don't do things like that? And your kid looks back at you and says, Dad, you do it all the time. Our salvation doesn't depend upon how much we bear for Jesus. It depends entirely upon what He bears for you. Your forgiveness doesn't depend upon what you do and what you say. It's dependent upon what Christ has done on your behalf and what He says to you. You know why Peter left and he began to weep bitterly? Because he finally recognized the depth of his sin and what he had done. You know what Jesus was doing at the same time? He was making His way to the cross of Calvary. because it was His work, it was His love, it was His mercy that would overcome all the sin that Peter had and would ever commit. Jesus knew Peter better than He knew Himself. And the same is true for you. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. Jesus sees this denial. He sees our sin, yet He continues on. We are not saved by giving up our lives for Jesus. We are saved because Jesus Christ gave up His life for you and for me. That's what this text tonight reveals about Luke. Not so much his failures, but the mercy of God. That in the midst of all the times when you and I so fall painfully short of the glory that God has called us to, in Luke's gospel, reminded of the love of a Savior. A Savior even at the very moment of our rejection. Even at the very moment when we stand in front of everyone else and we think we're the greatest. Jesus suffers and dies for us. I'm going to give you a little bit of a clue tonight. Jesus does come to you in those most awkward moments of life. And not when you have a chance to kind of clean yourself up and have that formal invitation for Jesus to come to my house. He doesn't come then. But He comes at moments just like now. When you have a moment to reflect upon your sinfulness, Jesus comes to remind you that He has conquered sin and death. He has poured out His life for you that you may have a new life with Him and be a part of a new family. He comes to reassure you that you are saved by grace through faith. And it is not of your own doing. Get that? It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that not one of us can boast. You know, the situations in your life may change, and they will. For some little ones, it was from the womb to a new home. And as time goes on, you go from your home to a dorm, perhaps off in college, or you buy your own house. But sooner or later, that will come to an end and you decide to buy a condo. And from the condo, we go to the retirement home. And from the retirement home, we go to the retirement center. And then the skilled care facility. And then ultimately, it ends at the grave. Things change in our lives. But in all those places, we have a Savior who remains exactly the same. A Savior who loves you. A Savior who died for you. You are forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.